to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Lloyd Auerbach is myth-busting. He's a paranormal investigator and academic, and we're looking over the problems with the media, with reality shows. And Chris, of course, was talking about his experiences on TV where the things he says, well, they're twisted around. Like he was talking about on one particular show, something happening in the Mysterious Valley. And by the time he sees the show, it's been moved to Sedona, the entire event. Lloyd, you had a response to that before our segment ended.
Yeah, people on these shows are going to do whatever they want. The reality shows, which are very different than news shows, they're supposedly going for entertainment, but they pretend like they're doing journalism. I've actually had people, because you were talking about charging for time. I mean, when I've been presented with these more recent release forms that are kind of, like I said, insulting and restrictive, I've pretty much turned around and said, you know, I'm happy to sign this as is, provided you pay me a significant amount of money. I mean, I can be bought. We can all be bought, of course. And, you know, I usually cite an outrageous amount that I know they're never going to go for. But it really boils down to them treating experts as if they are as crazy as some of the people that they interview. Because let's face it, some of these shows find crazy people who have experiences, not just average people who have experiences. And these release forms were actually designed for people who have experiences, who are the targets of the reality shows, and people who have actually not followed the non-disclosure because they were so mad that their story was changed, just like you're talking about Chris, the location for Chris's think piece changed. When people see their story change, I knew this woman up in Oregon, Southern Oregon, who had a friendly ghost, and then she had something negative in her house, like a negative energy, and they had paranormal state come to her house. And they changed the whole story. So now the nice ghost that she's been talking to consistently became the evil ghost. And there was some demonic overview mentioned, and there was some stuff, physical evidence that seemed to be fake, according to her. She came out and started talking about it once the show aired, and they started threatening her legal action. But it turned out that they had not had her sign the appropriate release form, so she was not as restricted as they said she was.
Oh, yeah. That must have been just a wonderful thing to do, though. You know, back at these sharks.
It's amazing. You know, they claim that they're well-intentioned, and perhaps some of the people who are on the shows are well-intentioned, but the shows, they just are about producing the shows. I mean, let's face it, production people. My father was a television producer for NBC Sports. My uncle was a director for CBS and ABC. I've got a brother who works at Today Show, another brother who cuts movie trailers. I mean, I have an uncle who's a former newscaster from radio newscaster in New York. I've been around this since before I was born, actually. And I've talked to people at all levels, and I understand that they want to make a show that's entertaining, but they're sacrificing the people who are providing them with the story. They're making them look bad or making the story look inaccurate or causing problems for them, you know, for the benefit of their production, which frankly is not as entertaining as they think it is. Obviously, there are people who do find it entertaining, or at least they find it real, so they watch that show religiously, the shows religiously. But personally, I don't find any of the paranormal TV shows entertaining. I find some of them interesting. The ones where people themselves tell their own ghost stories, those are more interesting to me.
Well, I kind of think, though, a lot of people watch this just to have something on the tube. And they don't care whether it's factual or not. What worries me, and we'll get on to other subjects, there's a lot more to cover. What worries me about this is that this reality show mentality is infusing cable TV news, which also becomes a reality show. So you want to learn about the events of the day, but you're seeing it through the skewed eyes of a marketing department that wants to tailor the news to fit your political belief, depending on what that political belief is, to feed you raw meat as to what you think should be happening, whether or not it's true.
You know, my wife and I were just watching The Daily Show the other night. We realized that it's really sad that we're getting our real news from a fake news show and the fake news from the real news shows.
It's kind of ironic. I think most of the kids out there actually get their news from The Daily Show. I've heard this time and time again.
Yeah, you know,
I tossed my satellite receiver out the door 7 years ago. I refuse to have broadcast television in my house. I just can't take it.
you know, local news can be really good or bad depending on who the reporters are. But you know, the thing about The Daily Show and shows like that is that they make people question. They're trying to get people to actually question what they see, which I think is the ultimate goal, or should be the ultimate goal of any show like that.
With intelligent skepticism. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's go away from the TV shows and the reality shows, and let's look into one thing you mentioned before, that a lot of people are going out there doing ghost hunting and haven't a clue of how to investigate anything. Maybe they learned their lesson from watching the show. So if someone wants to actually become a ghost hunter, there's some paranormal events of some sort mm-hmm. in their locality, and they want to find out what's going on. Is there a place they can take the course? Is there a place they can study? What should they not do?
Well, I would stay away from any sources connected to any of the TV shows, number one. And there are a lot of people who are writing books that have learned their craft from that. Start with, actually, and you know, I'll be self-serving and say you can start with my books, but the fact is I have several colleagues who've written some great books and articles as well. So start with the people who are members of or connected to the Parapsychological Association, and they can go to the website of the Parapsychological Association, which is parapsych.org, or even go to my website, mindreader.com, and link out to that. Look at who the members are and start looking at those names. They do not all do investigation. Only some of them do. But a lot of them have written on the subject, and learning general material about ESP, about psychokinesis, mind over matter, about what we call survival of bodily death, which is where ghosts fit in. People have written stuff about that, and even get stuff for free through Google Books or archive.org by searching the phrase psychical research and get the early books on the subject. They can even search ghost hunting, and they'll get some of the early ghost hunting books using that term back from the late 19th century, early 20th century.
Before, of course, TV infected that medium.
Right, right. And even before the technology became prevalent, you know, the handheld technology, because that stuff became incredibly, the purpose of it, because I've been identified as the first person to apparently use the tri-field meter on TV. And using a Gauss meter, using a magnetic field detector, was not to detect ghosts. It's to detect certain environmental changes. All the equipment is to detect environmental changes, generally. And you infer that something unusual is happening, but you have to connect that back to a human experience, someone having an experience. And that's the way you kind of work backwards to the tech. But the early stuff, they used, you know, things like measuring tapes and cameras, and they did use some stuff to at least document the environment. But there are many more recent sources, and my website is a good place, again, to start to link out to all the organizations, to find people in the field who know what they're talking about. And frankly, all they have to do is send a note, an email to me, to most of the people on the list of the Parapsychological Association will respond to them. We're not about keeping the field insular. One of the things that is kind of a directive and drive for a lot of us is bringing more people into the field. But they have to come into the field wanting to learn and wanting to understand and not assuming that what they've seen on TV is real, because most of it's not.
Now, we assume, speaking of assumptions, and we'll probably move this into our next segment, and we'll also ask listener questions, and that is the basic assumption of ghosts, for example. This is something involving life after death. But isn't that a supposition, too?
Well, of course it is. It is a starting point. And actually, when we talk about haunted houses and apparitions and things, we actually have two models or two starting points. One of them is that apparitions are consciousness surviving the death of the body. And that's the position we go from. But we don't find that turns out to be the case in many of the cases that we go out on. We also have the idea of hauntings, which are often called residual hauntings out there in the community, where it seems like the environment has somehow recorded an event and people are sensitive enough to pick it up from time to time and kind of replay it in their heads, like a video playback or an audio playback of things. And these are models to start with. However, every parapsychologist going into an investigation, even if we think that it's an apparition or think that it's a haunting or think that it's a poltergeist, which is a completely different phenomenon altogether, we go through every reported event, everything that people report, to look for alternative explanations.
Let's get into more of this in our next segment.
Okay.
Lloyd Auerbach joining Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
Adam Miller here with Midas Resources. Today, April 21st, 2014, gold opened at $12.98.80. A 1 ounce gold coin can be purchased for $13.46, $6.73 for a half ounce, or $3.36.50 for a quarter ounce. That's $13.46, $6.73, and $3.36.50.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? Wait a second. Gold and silver is going up while Congress is trying to settle on the next debt increase. And there's no end to this madness. That old 401k and IRA can be converted into physical gold without tax consequences. I explained this in my book, 10 Reasons to Buy Gold. Don't let time slip away. Call for your free copy today, 800-686-2237. Get away from that Washington spin and get honest answers about gold. 800-686-2237. The book is free, 800-686-2237.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
If you're worried about your health and you're tired of the nasty side effects of harsh drugs or antibiotics, then look no further. Supernatural Silver is the answer. Supernatural Silver is a powerful immune system enhancer that can be used every day to help keep you healthy and well with none of those nasty side effects. It's extremely safe for use internally as well as topically. And Supernatural Silver is hundreds of times more effective than colloidal or ionic silver. It is perfect for use in the sinuses, eyes, ears, and on any wound or skin issue. Supernatural Silver is also extremely effective when taken orally and can help fight off bacteria, viruses, and mold that may be overwhelming your immune system. Go to SupernaturalSilver.com. SupernaturalSilver.com. And use the promo code Silver2014 for 20% off of your entire order. And give yourself and your loved ones a fighting chance with Supernatural Silver.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
We're focusing heavily on myth-busting and the nuts and bolts of paranormal investigation, as opposed to just case histories, and we'll have some of those, and we'll have some of your questions. But let's just move on a little bit here, because you brought up poltergeists, and we have these things that seem to move around of their own will. But one common theory is that's excess energy from young people at the puberty stage. Is that true?
Well, that's the stereotype. of that. And actually, I think Stephen King's book and movie Carrie were probably more responsible for that stereotype taking hold than anything else. Poltergeist cases do surround a living agent. This model of poltergeist goes back to Nandor Fodor in the early 20th century, who was a psychotherapist, psychiatrist actually, and a parapsychologist. And Bill Roll, William G. Roll, actually crystallized that and came up with the term recurrent spontaneous psychokinesis, or RSPK. It's not necessarily excess energy. We don't know that it's actually energy in the way we think of energy. But it seems that there's a living agent or a living person at the center of these poltergeist cases whose unconscious is tossing things around using an ability we have called psychokinesis. It is, in a large percentage of the cases, connected to stress, emotional or otherwise, and that points to puberty and adolescence. So about 60% of the cases are people between the ages of 12 and 24, 25, not just teenagers, not just puberty. And then we also have about a third of the cases that seem to be connected more to neurological activity, especially epileptic type or epilepsy in the brain. The epileptic type activity, kind of like think of the poltergeist outbreak as a seizure, being directed outward instead of inward in some respects. We also have an alternative from some of my colleagues who do not accept that living people are doing it. Even within the field, there are people who think that it's actually ghosts that are doing it in poltergeist cases. So we have differences of opinion, but the model of the living agent piece holds up for a number of reasons, one of which is we can get it to stop pretty easily by working with identifying and working with a living agent.
Conversely, is it possible then to trigger that effect and control it so we have some sort of telekinetic ability that we can harness when we want to? Doesn't that sort of follow?
It sort of follows, and we've had cases in the past where people were able to control their abilities, the agents, for a time after the investigation. We had one at JFK, in fact, a woman who was a bartender who it kind of burned itself out, because it does tend to burn itself out after a while. But we have had people control. The problem of triggering it, if it's stress or epileptic activity, frankly, is ethics. I mean, we're dealing with human subjects here, and ethically, that would be bad.
Which doesn't sound healthy.
It's probably not. You know, the poltergeist outbreak for, interestingly enough, for epileptics, one of the things that's been reported is that during the time that the poltergeist activity or the PK activity is happening, the people don't have seizures even if they're off their meds. So actually, it may be healthier personally for those people than otherwise. We don't know what the actual trigger in the brain is for that, because it doesn't happen to all epileptics, certainly. And for stress, people are stressed. Some people seem to have that ability. And, well, one of the things I teach in my classes, I have a whole class on psychokinesis, and I do teach a method of learning to do some PK, although it's nothing big, but it's kind of a starting point for people to kind of get the idea in. The courses that I teach kind of do include not just research, but also a little bit of practice for people to try things. And I teach them both locally and distance-wise otherwise, too.
But isn't there the danger there of having it go too far?
You know, if we had poltergeist cases where it had ever gone too far, I'd say that that danger is there. But the very rules of psychokinesis, it seems, the psychological bindings of psychokinesis have to do with the fact that human beings in most cultures do not believe this is even possible. That's the biggest problem and biggest stumbling block for getting people past anything to do this sort of thing, is they have to see it happen, believe that it actually happens, then even believe that they can do it themselves. It's kind of like athletic performance. You have to believe in yourself to some extent, or at least sidestep the belief completely and not even think about it, which is why the unconscious seems to be able to do it a lot better.
Yeah, that's a good point. Now, we have a bunch of listener questions, Lloyd, and I really would like to start with this one, because I think we're kind of heading in this direction. And it's a question from SRL, who's been a longtime poster at forum.theparacast.com. And his first question would be my question, too, is in overviewing the totality of your investigation research, what is the single most compelling case that you could offer to peer-reviewed science that would show them the existence of these types of paranormal phenomena?
Well, I've had a number of cases that we've had experiential and other evidence, and I'll tell you a couple of cases in a moment here. And peer review within my own field would be one thing, but we have, like I said, we have people in my field who have differences of opinion. We've got a group of folks in my field who do not believe in life after death, so I don't know that it would convince them no matter what. But I will say that the case I'm about to talk about has made some of those people even wonder what the hell's going on, that there may be something more going on here. So one of the cases that was probably the most convincing for me personally that ghosts existed happened in 1985, although the case had been going on for a year and a half. And the woman who was the ghost had died a year and a half before that, so 3 years before I was even involved. It was a family that was not afraid of the ghosts that they were all seeing. It turned out that the mother, father, and son, and even the boy's grandmother were seeing the ghost separately and not talking about that with each other for the year and a half that they'd been living there, and until the boy actually mentioned that he was not only seeing her, he was communicating with her. He was talking to her on a daily basis. Then the mother got a little concerned. Well, he's 12. Is he going to be okay growing up talking to a ghost, even though we know the ghost exists? So there was a little concern about that. That was not really a concern, as it turned out. And when I brought the two people with me to investigate, we were told by the boy who had the ghost with him, it was kind of like a sitcom. We're walking around. We don't see somebody. He's talking to somebody who's not there. He's listening. He's telling us family stories about this woman's life. He's telling us stories about the town, which we dismissed because he could have read those and learned those. We ended up sitting down in a semicircle with the mother, her mother, and the boy. The father was out of town at the time. We're able to actually direct questions at the ghost and have the boy, who is not a psychic or medium, although he was sort of acting as a medium, actually respond, or at least listen and respond. And it included questions about what she was and what happened when she died and why was she still there. And all of the answers were kind of shocking coming out of a 12-year-old because they were incredibly adult, number one, very insightful, fit models in parapsychology, actually going back quite a ways. It would have been hard at that time to dig out unless you did a lot of reading and research, which he clearly had not done. And then I also got from him the woman's only living relative, who his mother had been trying to contact since the house was bought in the estate sale. But the attorney for this guy, because the guy was in an assisted living facility, blocked her at every turn. Now we have his contact information. I actually talked to him, went to visit him, and all the family stories that we were told, I could start one and he would finish it because they were all stories that the guy knew about or was involved in himself. So it was kind of, that was really important. And then on top of it, kind of the capper was each of us, the three investigators, myself and the other two, were asked a question specific to our drive from JFK University down to Livermore. So it was about a 45-minute drive.
And we're going to have the answer in our next segment. That's the cliffhanger, folks. That's the entertainment factor. Lloyd Auerbach joining Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Independently leading the way for the nation. Compelling talk for every political persuasion. We are GCN.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also print catalogs. Convert from so many formats, I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code Night Owl. Use the coupon code Night Owl to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document? Worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average over 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE. 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case. Mother's Day is right around the corner. If you haven't ordered your Mother's Day flowers yet, make sure to visit ProFlowers.com for an amazing deal. ProFlowers has a Mother's Day special for radio listeners. Get 100 gorgeous blooms for mom with a free glass vase for $19.99. And if you want to make her day even more special, upgrade to a premium vase and add gourmet chocolates for just $9.99 more. Mom will be so happy when she unwraps her beautiful bouquet of blooms, guaranteed to stay fresh and beautiful for at least one full week. Each time she looks at her Mother's Day flowers, she'll think of you. But hurry, this deal expires soon, so make sure to place your order today. The only way to get this incredible deal is to go to ProFlowers.com/radio right now and enter the code PLOW, P-L-O-W, ProFlowers.com/radio, code PLOW, P-L-O-W. That's ProFlowers.com/radio and enter code PLOW, P-L-O-W.
Can Heart and Body Extract help with other ailments besides heart conditions, high blood pressure, clogged arteries, or unbalanced cholesterol? It did for Karen.
I've been using Heart and Body Extract for approximately 2 weeks. I've had an earwax buildup problem for many years, with over-the-counter stuff not working at all. I have very poor hearing due to this earwax buildup. Well, after 2 weeks of taking Heart and Body Extract, my earwax buildup almost completely cleared up. Could this be the effect of better body circulation?
Heart and Body Extract is an effective 100% organic nutritional supplement specially formulated to allow your body to heal itself.
My hearing is almost completely back to normal. I'm amazed.
Order by calling 866-295-5305 or online at hbextract.com. That's 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract for a long and healthy life.
Hi, my name is Richard Dolan. You're listening to the Paracast.
I like to do those cliffhangers because it makes our listeners, I hope, want to listen past the ads and learn more about what our guest is saying. Lloyd, give us the rest of the story.
Sure. So, Chris, I basically asked the ghost Lois, do you have any questions for us? And by the way, the first question was kind of an interesting, funny, goofy thing because apparently the ghost had seen some commercials for Ghostbusters watching TV with Chris. It was the year before. We had a promise actually not to bring our portable particle accelerators and ghost traps. So the first question was, Chris kind of laughing, he said she wants to know if you actually use those things in Ghostbusters. And I turned it back into a kidding thing, and I said, well, you know, of course, the backpacks leak nuclear radiation, so they're kind of dangerous. We can't get insurance for them. He said, okay, so, Lloyd, what kind of new car do you want to buy? Joanna, do you really want to quit your job at the law firm in San Francisco? And Kip, how long were you a professional dancer in L.A. before you came back to school?
Whoa.
And those were questions that were specific to our drive, the 45-minute drive to Livermore. We did not mention those. I had a tape recorder running. We did not mention any of that stuff. It was not even an opportunity to mention any of that stuff when we walked in. So the alternative, there are two other alternatives here. One, they bugged my car for some reason. And this is not a family that sought any publicity whatsoever. They had no motivation for that whatsoever. So I kind of ruled that out. The other was that Chris somehow was really, really psychic. And I said, well, you know, how does Lois know to ask us these questions? You know, how do you know to ask us these questions? And he looked over at Lois and turned back and says, you may not like this, but she didn't trust you guys about the Ghostbusters thing. So she went to the university and rode in the back of your car and listened to your conversation on the drive down here.
Wow.
And of course, my student Kip, who had been in the back seat, turned a little green at that point. And we all laughed about it. It was very, very funny. But that was a case that, you know, the only alternative would have been somehow that this kid had made it all up, that he had found diaries that Lois had left behind, which Pat, his mother, had clearly been looking for. She was an attorney herself, and she'd been trying at all to find anything about the woman who used to own the house, because it was a beautiful old house and they bought a lot of her furniture too. And there were so many things that were against that concept, that it could not have been that. Not to mention the fact that the other three family members saw the ghost also.
Wow. That's quite impressive. I've never heard of a case that featured that kind of compelling smoking gun evidence that would legitimize the case like that. Yeah. That's amazing.
There have been many cases throughout the history of our field where the ghost has given information about themselves, about their lives, that has been verified, that the people could not have known. We have that with haunting cases too. People move into a home, something starts happening, they experience something, they check the history of the house, and lo and behold, what they're experiencing actually physically did happen in the house a year before, 5 years before, 10 years before. So we have those kind of veridical situations and experiences. We have them all the time. And, I can tell you that the folks on TV and the ghost hunter community doesn't have them that much, because they're constantly trying to look for something negative, and they miss the point of the whole investigation by not dealing with the witnesses so much and the experiences. They want to get EVPs and they want to get their technology evidence, but that's not the case. The case is the people,
well,
living or dead.
This is a very stupid question, but I think listeners who haven't followed this are going to ask it. And that is, when someone dies, are they guaranteed to become a ghost next, or some condition has to exist, maybe unfinished work, whatever, that keeps them in touch in some way with our existence or reality?
I think actually that's one of the smartest questions that anybody can actually ask when it comes right down to it. It seems, first of all, 99% of all apparition or ghost experiences happen where a family member, a loved one, somebody in relationship with a person who has just died, sees or experiences that person at the moment of death or within usually 2 to 3 days. And never again. That's it. They're gone. They're wherever they go. You might need a medium to call them back from the other side, but that's it. The ones who stick around, the reasons why they're here when people interview or ask them those questions or they hear from the ghosts run the range from unfinished business to denying that they're dead, the human denial of some condition change, to actually being afraid of what's next. That happens. We hear that a lot, that people are afraid of what's next. So you have that. But we do think that there probably are environmental conditions. It's something more than just people wanting to stick around. Otherwise, we have a lot more ghosts. That's pretty clear. So there's something else, and it's probably environmental conditions. The greatest connection we've got here is with geomagnetic fields and similar fields in the environment. And so it may be that the conditions need to be right for somebody to stick around. And frankly, even though I don't necessarily think in this direction, we cannot rule out that some higher power has a plan for those people, or that they have to learn something. I can't say that God or gods or the force or entities, something else has some plan for them, or karma, because there's no way to detect that or to get to that point.
Let me ask you then, because you kind of imply it here. Are there any differences among people who experience ghost events among racial, ethnic groups or religious groups?
There doesn't seem to be any sort of difference, except when you overlay a cultural or religious belief system, and then it's the interpretation. So ghosts look like human beings, but how people react to them and what they say about what the intention is that they give them will depend on the cultural or religious belief of those folks.
I've actually been out on a number of documentary projects as a technician at some haunted sites. And I remember getting asked a question once by someone at one of these sites, and they wanted to know, why do ghosts wear clothing?
Again, that's one of the questions. I asked that question probably when I was 5 years old. Where do they get their clothes from? And that fits our model, actually, of apparitions. People talk about seeing apparitions, but you're not really seeing the ghost through your eyes. Because if you could see the ghost with your eyes, with your optics, then everyone could see the ghost with your eyes. That would mean that the ghost is reflecting light.
Right.
And you could photograph the ghost. All right. So that doesn't answer the question of where they get their clothes from. But what that says is the logic of that, understanding that and working through that, we know that ghosts are not visible. They're not visible to the eye. This is a psychic phenomena. We're connecting with them we're adding the image to our own brains. You might say that it's a superimposed image, kind of like a green screen image that's happening. And the signal comes from the ghost. Well, ghosts, like if they're people, they really are people, they think of themselves with clothing on. They also think of themselves looking a little younger than they were often when they died, or certainly looking healthier than they were when they died. And that's the way ghosts are seen. People are seeing ghosts with whatever the ghost, that person's self-image happens to be. And since we all think of ourselves with clothes on, usually, that's why ghosts are seen with clothes. And changing clothes, by the way, and sometimes changing ages.
Well, interesting. So what I'm hearing here is that it's almost virtually impossible to photograph a ghost then.
Right. That's right.
Do we have any genuine photographs or video footage or film footage?
Not really. I mean, there are a couple famous photographs, the Brown Lady of Raynham Hall.
Right.
There's a few that look good. The reality is that a ghost would not actually be photographed, but the ghost could theoretically affect the camera or the film or both with psychokinesis. So think of it as the ghost, because some ghosts can seemingly move objects, and at least some of the cases we have like that. And it seems that if there is an intent on the part of that deceased entity, that they can affect the camera and cause something to appear. And, all these orb pictures that are on the internet, they're not ghosts, unless the ghosts actually made the orbs happen, but they're certainly not ghosts, and there's no logic behind any of that at all. It's really difficult. Video cameras, regular cameras, it's not much different than the magnetic field detectors in that we might be able to get an effect on the camera, but that doesn't mean we are photographing the ghost. Just like we might get a change in magnetic field, that doesn't mean the ghost is giving off a magnetic field, but maybe affecting the magnetic environment.
Interesting, because that's not what you would learn if you were watching the many of these ghost hunting shows.
That's correct.
That's the exact opposite of what they claim.
That's, of course, opposite logic that we find so much infecting the media these days. We have Lloyd Auerbach with more to come with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Network for the independent minded. The Genesis Communications Network. GCN.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It took hours before it returned, but I had already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Talk to a sales rep at iWeb.com. Use the promo code TechNightOwl for a special discount.
Harvest Right is the world's first in-home freeze dryer. Freeze dry your own fruits, vegetables, meats, and full meals. With Harvest Right, you can prepare foods that last 25 years, preserving its freshness, nutrition, color, and taste. All your food can be freeze dried, so don't throw away your leftovers. Freeze dry them with this incredible in-home money-saving freeze dryer. Go to HarvestRight.com to see how the Harvest Right freeze dryer works. That's HarvestRight.com.
We love that you're passionate about GCN. And whether you're a listener, a business owner, or a radio industry professional, we've redesigned the new GCN newsletter to keep you in the know. Text GCN Live to 22828 or click on the banner at GCNLive.com. Enter by May 15th. You'll qualify to win a 6-month supply of storable food from MyPatriotSupply.com. Start receiving your newsletter today. The future of talk radio. GCN.
It's hard to imagine when things are going reasonably well just how quickly things can change. But what would it take? economic collapse, massive crop failure, chemical or biological attack. So many situations could find you in the grocery looking to pick up food for your family only to find that the shelves are empty. There's nothing. Don't let that happen. Act today to make sure that if it ever comes to that, you and your family will be provided for. Visit freezedryguy.com to look at the wide variety of survival foods available. Freeze-dried foods from the Freeze Dry Guy store longer, rehydrate faster, are nutritionally superior to, and taste better than any other long-term storage food available. Visit freezedryguy.com or call toll-free 866-404-3663. FreezeDryGuy.com.
A little over a year ago, I began to do a lot of research into why, even though I had a pretty good-sized meal, that I was still starving. And my research led me to a well-known fact that most of the soils that we grow our crops on here in the United States and across the industrialized world are almost completely depleted of almost all of the key minerals and trace elements that our bodies need to rebuild themselves, fight off cancer, and be healthy. I then searched out the best vitamin and mineral company out there and discovered Youngevity. The Youngevity products are designed to give you the real nutrition you need, and once you've got that, you don't have to eat as much to be satisfied. I've lost 37 pounds in 2 months simply getting the vitamins and minerals I need. Check it out for yourself. It's incredible. Go to InfoWarsTeam.com today and order your first canister of Beyond Tangy Tangerine Complete Multivitamin Mineral Complex Dietary Supplement. That's InfoWarsTeam.com.
Hi, this is nuclear physicist lecturer Stanton Friedman. You are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Our guest this week is Lloyd Auerbach, and you see this guy is realistic. He's got his feet firmly planted on the ground. His head is not in the skies, but he's exploring the things, the unknown things around us, trying to get some reality around them. Chris, more questions from our listeners?
Yeah, and this goes into a kind of what I was going to mention about an experience I had up at the Connor Hotel in Jerome, Arizona. And we had a $22,000 brand new 3D Panasonic camera at the end of a hallway in this hotel. I had just gone down with some lights. I was starting to break equipment down, and we had a psychic in the hotel. We had just been interviewing her. As I was going downstairs with the gear, the director put the camera, didn't turn it off, but put it still in record mode at the end of the hallway in front of a big mirror. And as I was walking up the hallway, I had something lean out. At first, I thought it was somebody just, you know, heard me walking down the hallway and looked out the door to see who it was. And I could see the figure in the mirror. And all of a sudden I realized, well, wait a minute, I didn't see any features on this. It was like a silhouette of somebody. And there was enough light to actually, I should have been able to see details. So I immediately turned around and went back, and there was no door there at that particular spot in the hallway. I was absolutely out of my mind with I was so excited because we had a 3D camera going, and it should have, you know, obviously in record mode, it should have picked this picture up. We could not initialize the footage. The camera would not initialize that particular clip that was about 7 minutes long. And he tried every which way but loose to get that footage out of that camera. Brand new camera. Now, it's the first time we'd used it, and he's been using it ever since with no problems.
Mm-hmm.
And this leads me to a question. This one comes from Polterwurst, and I think it ties in with what I just mentioned to you. That was the first time I've ever seen anything, and it was a mirror image. But he's wondering, do they actually drain batteries? Do they avoid trying to be seen? Do they do things like mess with electronic equipment, as I've described, in an effort not to be documented?
Well, you know, first, the battery drain thing. I've been on so many different TV shoots, and we've had all sorts of bizarre things happening with the TV cameras. And interestingly enough, not only with my own recorders, but usually with the crew stuff, whether it's the camera, the microphones, the sound system, the VTR, any number of things. I've had some very, very bizarre tape switches and segment switches in the cameras and tapes that seem to be intentional. So, you know, not every ghost does that. Not every case does that. You know, people there seem to be under this impression that ghosts, in order to manifest, need to drain batteries or change the temperature, drain energy from the system. The cold spot thing, which is absolutely untrue, by the way. We'd have consistency in at least most of the cases if either one of those things was true. So whether they do it intentionally, I think would depend on the ghost and depend on the circumstance. And there's also some evidence that shows that in some of the hauntings, the imprints, that something about the environment does something to the electronic equipment as well. So it's tough to know, unless you actually have somebody communicating and asking the ghost in that moment,
right,
why'd you do that? You know, what was this about? And it may be that they're just doing it to let you know that they're there. We don't know actually where the effect is. So, for example, we had a case in Florida, and on the case with me was a gent by the name of Martin Caden, who was the creator of the $6 Million Man, a consultant to NASA, science writer, science fiction writer, and he had taken us to this place called Ashley's Pub, not far from the Cape. People as far back as the 60s, the original seven astronauts, some of them had experiences in this place with the ghosts there, and a lot of people had seen physical phenomena and entity, an apparition appearing. And as we're there, we have a problem with our camera battery, which is a full battery, just, you know, charging. It starts beeping and telling us that it's drained. So it stops. We go outside to the van to get another couple of batteries. And as soon as we walk outside the building, the battery shows full again, and it's working. Go back inside. Within a couple of minutes, it's drained again, or at least it shows that it's dead.
That almost sounds like the effect you get sometimes with a UFO case.
Yeah, and the,
yeah,
question,
similar.
The question is whether or not the battery was actually drained and should recharge. Probably not. It probably was that for whatever reason, the contact was not being made anymore, so it looked like it was being drained. It's the same as with our magnetic field detectors. You know, frankly, I don't know if we're really measuring a magnetic field change or if a ghost or something is making the indicator start move to make it look like there's a field change.
That's interesting. You know, most people would just assume that the equipment is working properly and that they're actually picking something up. And I've never really thought about that. You know, it could be a manipulation by the energy form itself.
Right. And also you need to put in the possible effect and manipulation by the operators. One of the things we know in parapsychology is there's something called an experimenter effect, which we can extend out.
Yeah, the observer effect, sure.
Yeah, and, you know, we all have a little bit of PK ourselves, and we can influence things ourselves. Some of what people get with EVP is likely coming from them, not from any sort of spirits, or at least coming through them. The same thing goes with any of our other effects, too.
You mentioned EVPs now. There's a lot of reliance on that particular phenomenon on these shows. Where do you come down on EVPs? Do you know, some people say that it's just the cheap electronics and the handheld digital recorders, similar to digital flashes producing orbs and cameras.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you come down on that?
There's a lot of crappy EVPs. I mean, let's face it, there's a lot of unusual sounds. And the problem with the EVP is you have to make sure you have a second recorder going to make sure that, and preferably close by the first one, so that if the person was sub-vocalizing, talking under their breath, or some other sound, if it was an actual audible sound, then you'd have it on both recorders, typically, if we're talking about digital recorders. Audio recorders, you know, cassette recorders were a problem because on occasion they could actually pick up stray radio signals, CB radio especially, and they even would pick up the sound of their own motors. So that was a problem that you don't have with the digital recorders anymore. But there's an interpretational thing, and there are possible other sounds, and you have to rule those things out. And then just because you're hearing a voice that says, I'm over here, doesn't mean that that's the spirit that's in the house, if there are spirits at all. We've had, I do work with psychics as well, and on occasion, some of the psychics I've worked with have had to tell the ghosts who have followed them around because they wanted to talk to somebody, kind of like in the movie Ghost with Whoopi Goldberg's character. They had to tell them just to shut up and let the ghost who's present speak through the EVP at all, if anything's going on. Plus, we have the really interesting finding that in many of the ghost hunting groups that report a lot of EVPs, it seems like the same person gets EVPs over and over again, and no one else in the group does, or very few other people do. So there's something about the operator getting that electronic voice right now that is different than the other people in the group, if in fact there are spirits present, and it may be the operators affecting the device or making it easier for the device to be affected by something.
Now, in the movie Ghost, it was all about the Patrick Swayze character hanging out because he was murdered and wanted to capture the real murderer, who turned out to be his best friend, played by Tony Goldwyn, who currently, by the way, is in that TV show, I think, Revenge, where he plays the President of the United States.
Oh, right, right.
Right, and of course, he's Goldwyn being the famous movie family, that Goldwyn.
Mm-hmm.
He's a member of that. But realistic is that? Is that about a ghost hangs around because of the unfinished work, and once that happens, whatever they meant to do, whatever they tried to do, if that's accomplished, the ghost goes away? Is that anything close to the reality?
That's one of the reasons, although it doesn't have to be because they were murdered. It could be because simply they needed to say goodbye to family members or needed to pass along a message. But unfinished business, I think that it depends on what you would consider unfinished. Certainly a murder would be unfinished if you're kind of – it's not solved. But other kinds of unfinished business, it's dependent on the individual. I think the reasons why ghosts stick around range from the same reasons that any individual goes to any place, so any human being. They're human, so they have that. The movie Ghosts otherwise – had a lot of basis in people's experiences and the way we have interpreted that ghosts appear. If you remember in that movie, Swayze's character had to learn how to move something, and he got that from the ghost, Vince Schiaparelli, who was the subway ghost, who was knocking newspapers out of people's hands. As it happens, the screenwriter, actually used my first book and a book by D. Scott Rogo, one of my colleagues, as research material for that script for the movie Ghost.
You know, it's very interesting how the fact is, even with a fictional movie, you've got research people who will go back and try to ground it if they care about such things, and they don't
always. They care.
I think Ghost, they did care about such things.
Oh, yeah, definitely. He really cared about it. And there have been a few people who have really – I've consulted with TV writers on occasion and with screenwriters. In fact, I'm actually doing a talk at the Great American Pitch Fest in L.A. In Burbank in June, which will be addressing Hollywood screenwriters. And we'll be doing a workshop next September for screenwriters and TV writers of dramatic shows and comedy shows, not the reality shows.
I want to ask you one other question about a TV show in a moment.
Mm-hmm.
We have Lloyd Auerbach joining us. And by the way, he has a website which is linked to from the Paracast. So if you go to the Paracast site to check out shows, if you click on his name, you go to his site. No easier way. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Not just an alternative to the mainstream media. We're the premier independent talk radio network. We are GCN.
If you own a business, you need customers, right? Well, your potential customers are listening to this radio program right now, and I can help you reach them. Hi, I'm Matt Brower, a national marketing executive at the radio network responsible for this program. I can help you customize a national radio campaign that fits your budget, large or small, while targeting your specific audience. Call me to learn how radio advertising can make your business more profitable. 877-996-4327, extension 128. That's 877-996-4327, extension 128.
We the People grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Spring time is save big time at Herbal Healer Academy. Long-term customers know spring is the time to stock up at herbalhealer.com. And for new customers, welcome to the web's best place to save on vitamins, minerals, and more. Log on for spring specials, including our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale. Choose from Herbal Healer's great variety of weight loss products like apple cider vinegar, Hoodia and Metabolic Complex, and Pro Metabolic, all on sale now. Also, the anti-parasite Intestinal Freedom and Warwood Plus Complex. plus Stevia Liquid Sweetener and the Super Enzymes, all on sale for spring at HerbalHealer.com. As always, we offer certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Enjoy same-day shipping and free online newsletter. Log on now to HerbalHealer.com and click on Spring Specials to save big with our nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy.